Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by. Welcome to the RADCOM Ltd. First Quarter 2017 Results Conference Call. All participants are at present in listen-only mode. Following management's formal presentation, instructions will be given for the question-and-answer session. For operator assistance during the conference, please press star zero. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded May 4th, 2017. On the call today is Yaron Ravkaie, RADCOM CEO, and Ron Vered, RADCOM CFO. By now, we assume you have seen the earnings press release, which was issued earlier today. It is available on all the major financial news feeds. Please note that management has prepared a presentation for your reference that will be used during the call. If you have not downloaded it yet, you may do so through a link on the investor section of RADCOM's website at www.radcom.com/investor-relations. If you have any trouble, please send Michal Friedman an email at michalf@radcom.com, and she will send it to you right away. Before we begin, I'd like to review the safe harbor provision. Forward-looking statements of the conference call involve a number of risks and uncertainties, including but not limited to product demand, pricing, market acceptance, changing economic conditions, product technology development, and the effect of the company's accounting policies and other risk factors detailed on the company's SEC filings. The company does not undertake to update forward-looking statements. The full safe harbor provisions are set forth in the presentation. In this conference call, management will be referring to certain non-GAAP financial measures, which are provided to enhance the user's overall understanding of the company's financial performance. By excluding certain non-cash charges, non-GAAP results provide information that is useful in assessing RADCOM's core operating performance and in evaluating and comparing our results of operations on a consistent basis from period to period. The presentation of this additional information is not meant to be considered a substitute for the corresponding financial measures prepared in accordance with generally accepted accounting principles. Investors are encouraged to review the reconciliations of GAAP to non-GAAP financial measures, which are included in the quarter's earnings release. I'd like to repeat the information about the presentation. If you have not downloaded it yet, you may do so through a link on the investor section of RADCOM's website at www.radcom.com/investor-relations. If you have any trouble, send Michal an email at michalf@radcom.com, and she will send it to you directly. Now, I'd like to turn over the call to Yaron. Please go ahead.
Thank you, operator, and thank you all for joining us today. Before discussing our results, I wanted to take a few minutes to highlight some of the important milestones over the past year since we completed our capital raise to support our growth. To start, we were very excited that AT&T publicly announced that they were using RADCOM's MAVERICK product suite as the basis for the service assurance component of their new NFV network. Their public endorsement, as well as ongoing expansion orders, highlights AT&T's confidence in our leading-edge technology. We expect AT&T to remain an important customer and key reference for the company as we continue to play a major part in their network virtualization strategy over the coming years. During the past year, we saw an increasing number of companies evaluating their NFV strategy. One quarter into this year, we see carriers introducing more key virtual elements into their networks compared to last year, which is driving additional interest in our product. Our proof of concept with several key carriers are progressing well, with very strong feedback into our technology leadership in the market. We're concluding some of these proofs of concept and evaluating commercial next steps with these new potential customers, as well as engaging additional carriers and planning for additional proofs of concept. Being a first mover in this space and participating in the most aggressive transformation today allows us to solve carriers' service assurance challenges as they introduce many new moving parts into their networks. As a result, we have remained committed to innovation to extend our technology advantage. This is evidenced by the recent general availability of Maverick A+, already installed in AT&T, which boosts performance for carriers to assure customer experience across both virtual and physical networks. As we have mentioned on past calls, this hybrid approach enables a path to NFV and future-proofing their purchasing decision. Consequently, we continue to feel strongly that our strategy of running a virtual NFV service assurance solution in a hybrid world of both physical and virtualized network elements is the right one. Our investment in infrastructure across the company, from R&D to professional services, and our senior leadership is bearing fruit. We see our pipeline is healthier and our relationship with our existing strategic customers is strong, while our positioning with potential new customers is maturing. This infrastructure is key to our ability to scale, and we feel very satisfied with the progress that we've made, which is in line with our company strategy. Over the course of the last year, we increased our R&D by over 50%. We formed a strong professional services team, which is focused on our customers' success. And together with our new senior leadership, we see it bringing the desired business impact. As a final point, I'm pleased to note that we have been able to remain profitable on a non-GAAP basis and generate cash from operations throughout the year, while at the same time executing on our strategy of investing to support future growth. Now, moving on our results for the first quarter. I hope you have our presentation in front of you, and I'll begin with slide 6. We're very pleased with our first quarter results, which marked a strong start to the year for RADCOM. As you can see, revenues for the quarter increased by 23% year over year to $8 million, and we achieved a non-GAAP net income of $0.3 million or $0.02 per diluted share. Our focus during the first quarter was to continue executing on existing contracts, expanding with current customers, running trials with new customers, and investing in our engineering resources in anticipation of potential new projects. As I mentioned, we are moving forward with AT&T as they implement our Maverick A+ product suite as the service assurance component of their new NFV network. As a reminder, AT&T is very aggressive and advanced in its NFV program and plans to virtualize approximately 75% of its network by 2020. On their most recent earnings call, AT&T credited their network virtualization efforts as one of the key factors for their improved operational efficiency. In addition, AT&T stated that they are well on their way to virtualizing 55% of their network functions by the end of 2017, up from 34% at the end of 2016. As a result, we continue to expect AT&T to remain an important customer and key reference for the company as we continue to play a major part in their network virtualization strategy over the coming years. During the past quarter, AT&T materialized their intent to open source ECOMP. In fact, they even took the process a step further by merging with OpenO, another open source NFV orchestration group, to create the cornerstone of the newly formed Open Network Automation Platform, ONAP, that brings holistic, production-proven software to an even greater market. With its recognized value, we see carriers starting to formally announce they are evaluating ONAP as their NFV transformation strategy. As a result of our close relationship with AT&T, we're highly integrated with ONAP, providing a very advanced level of automation which becomes available to any carrier implementing ONAP and will want to implement Maverick A+. As this trend continues, we expect this to drive further demand for Maverick A+. In regards to our pipeline, we continue to see top-tier operators planning their migration to NFV, and we are starting to see tenders for pure NFV architecture. As I've said in the past, the sales cycle for these type of deals are longer as top-tier carriers are looking for comprehensive solutions for big transformation projects. As a result, they move carefully before making any commitment. That being said, given the progress we are making, overall visibility with customers is improving, and we remain confident that these activities will materialize into new deals. As we continue to engage with many of the top-tier carriers in the world, we expect to see carriers who will gradually virtualize their networks over several years, as well as seeing several carriers being more aggressive in their transformation strategy. It is expected that carriers will virtualize new services that they introduce into the network, which again is good for us and will drive demand for virtualized service assurance and our solution. Furthermore, it is clear today that emerging technologies such as 5G and IoT will require carriers to virtualize their networks. While the 5G revolution is expected to gain momentum in 2019 and beyond, we already see carriers trying out the technology, and RADCOM is well positioned to benefit from this trend. During the quarter, we also met with many top-tier carriers, both at Mobile World Congress and in C-level meetings across the globe. And we continue to receive strong validation of our direction and of the disruptive role we play in the industry. So to summarize, we continued to see accelerated engagements with leading top-tier carriers relating to their respective NAV strategies, as RADCOM remains the go-to NAV vendor for customer experience. Carriers are adopting the AT&T architecture with ONAP. Our trials and engagements with potential new customers are progressing, and our infrastructure is progressing to give us the ability to continue to scale the company, and this is exactly the point where we want to be. We remain focused on executing our strategy and leveraging the investments we have made to support our growth. Their message of future-proofing NAV migration continues to resonate with carriers globally. With that, I will stop and turn the call over to Ran Vered, our CFO, to discuss the financial results. Ran, please.
Thank you, Aaron. Since you have the financial results, I will just go over the highlights in slide 6. To help you understand the results, I will be referring mainly to non-GAAP numbers, which exclude share-based compensation. Revenue for the first quarter was $8 million, up 23% year-over-year. Our gross margin for the quarter was 75.4% on a non-GAAP basis, in line with our expectation. As a reminder, we expect gross margin to continue to fluctuate depending upon the mix of each quarter's revenue. Our gross R&D for the quarter on a non-GAAP basis increased to $2.4 million from $1.7 million in the first quarter of 2016, which was in line with our ramp-up plan and highlights our strategy of investing to support future growth. In addition, we did not receive anything from the Israel Innovation Authority during the period, so our net R&D for the quarter was the same as the gross amount. We expect the gross R&D expenses in the coming few quarters to be roughly the same level or slightly above. Sales and marketing expenses for the quarter increased to $2.8 million on a non-GAAP basis, up from $1.5 million in the first quarter of 2016, due to the headcount increase we had over the past year, aligned with our go-to-market strategy. G&A expenses for the quarter on a non-GAAP basis totaled $724,000 compared to $639,000 in the first quarter of 2016. Operating income on a non-GAAP basis for the quarter was $193,000 compared with $1,057,000 for the first quarter of 2016. Net income for the quarter on a non-GAAP basis was $284, or 2 cents per diluted share. The results included no benefit related to the grant from the Israel Innovation Authority, same as Q1 of 2016. On a GAAP basis, as you can see in slide 5, we reported the net loss for the quarter of $336,000, or 3 cents per diluted share, compared to net income of $903,000, or 10 cents per diluted share during the first quarter of 2016. Turning to balance sheet, as you can see on slide 9, our cash and cash equivalents at the end of the quarter were $40.7 million. We believe that our strong cash balance places the company on solid footing for addressing the big Tier 1 opportunities. Turning to guidance, We started the year with good momentum and remain in position to increase market share and extend our technology leadership. As Aaron mentioned, our overall visibility with existing and potential new customers is improving, and we expect growth to be higher in the second half of 2017 as we close some of the opportunities in the pipeline. As a result, we are reiterating our fiscal 2017 guidance range of 36 to 39 million in revenues. As a reminder, this guidance assumes ongoing traction with AT&T, as well as from other existing Tier 1 customers and potential new customers. In terms of profitability, while we're still not providing specific EPS guidance, what continues to be important for the company is to have the infrastructure to execute several projects in parallel, so we can capture the disruption that's happening with NFV. Similar to revenues, we expect our profitability in the second half of 2017 to be better than the first half of the year as a result of the revenue growth in the second half. As a reminder, we view and continue to manage our business on an annual basis because our quarterly results can fluctuate due to the timing of implementation milestones. With that, let me turn it back to you, Yaron.
Thank you, Ron. In summary, we are very pleased with our execution during the first quarter, as well as improved visibility. RADCOM remains well positioned to maintain the momentum, given the ongoing high level of activity we see from top-tier carriers globally. With that, we'll do Q&A.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, we will begin the question and answer session. If you have a question, please press star 1. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star 2. If you are using speaker equipment, kindly lift the handset before pressing the numbers. Your questions will be pulled in the order they are received. Please stand by while we pull for your questions. The first question is from Alex Henderson of Needham & Company. Please go ahead.
Great. First, a couple of just housekeeping stuff. Can you give us a headcount and what the 10% customer concentration looked like?
So we are at the end of the quarter, our headcount remained stable at 192. Actually, in the last month, it was increased by 8, but we are actually almost in the same level where we end up 2016.
Okay, and the customer concentration?
So AT&T in the quarter was yet again our biggest customer with 60% out of our total revenue, almost the same as in 2016 when it was 62%.
Right. Going back to the NRE comment that you made, I just wanted to make sure that I understood. Are you saying that it's going to stay essentially flat at zero that was posted in 1Q, or are you saying that it's going to be flat for the full year, similar to what you did last year, which is a million seven or so in NRE?
So actually, Alex, when you are submitting these programs to the government, on the first quarter, it's in the last years, it was almost the same in the last years. You don't get it on the first quarter. We do anticipate to get it, but we don't know yet if it's going to be on the second quarter or the third quarter, but it is a part of our plan to get it. In the same amount as 2016, in the range of $1.6 to $1.7 million.
I see. So we probably ought to slide out of June quarter and into the September quarter, though, is what I think I'm hearing you say.
We don't know. It may be in the second quarter, and we may get it in the third quarter. At this point,
last year it came in Q2.
Yeah,
years before it came
in
Q3.
So
there's no way to know.
Right. Okay. Going back to your pipeline, which is really the crux of the questioning here. I think you had talked in the past about having 9 programs that you were, putting a lot of resources into. In trials. Can you give us an update on how those are progressing, if there's anything that's getting closer to coming to fruition, whether they've run into any hang-ups, has anything slipped out of that group, have you added other companies to that group?
Okay, so we said in the past, you remember we managed, we said two numbers, 9 and 4, 9, you know, overall carriers that we started to engage with, and we start to progress with 4 trials. The 9 number has grown because we've gone to, you know, more than a quarter and a half of sales and marketing, including a big Mobile World Congress, so we're engaged with more carriers now, we're maturing it. You know, I'm not going to disclose the exact number. And actual trials, they've matured. So I need to be very sensitive now on the geographies or things like that because primarily of competitive reasons. But we're moving now to wrapping up the trials and to see next steps, things like that. And to anticipate the next question, when are we going to have the PO or something like that, you know, the real answer is I don't know. This is where we're at, and we're working hard to finish and wrapping these things up, but they get, you know, a life of their own with these carriers.
Yep, understand. So just to be clear, are you now sort of tapped out on your ability to take on these trials and customer engagements?
No, actually, we did, I think, a very strong job on the foundation of the company. I think if you recall, like, if I recall correctly, 2 quarters ago, I explained it, I think, in more details, and we're getting the fruits now where we can do more trials this year. And we are planning to. It's, we see, you know, some of these new carriers that we've approached, they will want trials in probably more Q3, Q4. Some maybe even this quarter. And the company is geared up not to disappoint these top-tier carriers. We also, you know, we put a lot of R&D in the last year, and the product has matured also into this very high level of automation that the trials are becoming more and more easier for us. So I think you will see, you know, and our customers, our potential customers, we see a very nice cadence in our ability to trial the software and to move to commercial. I will also say that as we do see some of these things move to projects, we will need on a constant basis to evaluate what Ran mentioned, you know, what's going to be our investments going forward. You know, we have a plan, and if things get ahead of the plan, we might need to do some more investments, but hopefully this will also come with the revenue.
Any change in the competitive landscape at all? And then one last question, then I'll cede the floor. The 75.4 gross margin non-GAAP, that's well above the trend line. Should we still be using more like 70, 71 going forward?
So with the second one, I think Ran is nodding his head. You should use the 70, 71 number. It's this quarter the mix was more on the software side. Now, we mentioned that our trajectory will be an upward trajectory as we move to more software deals. We still expect this to be the case, but we still have our existing accounts in the various regions that are doing very nice expansions with us that have, again, just a regular cuts component to it, which takes the gross margin to be lower, but not the foundation of the company. What was your other question?
Any change in the competitive landscape?
Yeah, you know, the interesting thing of what I see, and you know, we've been getting a lot of questions on NetScout, and I think everybody knows that NetScout is has a big portion of the legacy market after they acquired Tektronix. You know, they start to come out with software and marketing material that looks more like ours. So we see that they publicly announced a software version of their equipment probe. They use the word NAV lightly. We haven't seen an NAV product yet. And just as a reminder, to people that have been following the company knows this, but we were in software in 2014. So I think the good sign is when a very formidable company starts to, and big company like NetScout starts to mimic our behavior, it's a very strong market validation of our strategy. And I think the good thing for us is we remain confident that we have a very high technology edge in the marketplace, which we see from what they're announcing, and we also see it from strong feedback that we get from our customers, that a lot of them have been running some of these technologies. And the other players in the market, you know, we see similar things, but they're smaller and it's less less visible. You know, NetScout is always visible.
Does the NetScout Chief Technology Officer getting elected as the co-chair of the Open Networking User Group Monitoring Analytics Committee have any impact on you at all?
No. We see today the main effort in the marketplace of two efforts, ONAP, which were very highly engaged in, you know, any, as I mentioned, any carrier that will adopt ONAP and will decide to go forward with RADCOM is going to get a ton of benefit, and carriers are starting to evaluate this and see it. And the second one is that, you know, that was, you know, there were three, so those were two, which now became one with the merger with the eComp. And the second one is OSM, and we just concluded this quarter a very nice trial with OSM, led by Telefonica, which is a very strong OSM participant. And we publicly announced it, so we're playing in all the right places, and we're ahead of all the curve on you know, specifically in the service assurance space. So we feel comfortable that we have a leadership role, including a thought leadership role.
Okay, I'll cede the floor. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Alex.
The next question is from Dimitri Nedis of William Blair. Please go ahead.
Okay, great. Good afternoon there in Israel, gentlemen. A couple questions. First, kind of modeling questions. As you progress through the year, and specifically in Q2 timeframe, how do you expect the revenue trend? Would that be more of a flattish type quarter, or do you expect growth in the June quarter as well?
So our expectation is that the second quarter will be slightly above the first quarter in terms of revenue.
Okay, great. That's good. And then on the OPEX side of things, how do you expect the operating expenses to trend as well in the Q2 and then maybe in the back half of the year? I noticed you said you do think once the revenue spikes in the second half, you will see some improved profitability. So how do you reconcile that with the expense management?
So I'm disregarding currently the grants from the Innovation Authority. I'm talking about the OPEX without it. So our burn rate in the first quarter was 5.9 million. We expect it to be at the same level or above in the next quarter. And during the remainder of the year, you know, when new projects and new wins will come, we may see some growth, and we need to reevaluate our plans. But It's not going to be, you know, a huge spike. We're going to be roughly above this run rate.
And if we will need to spike, by the way, it's a good sign.
Yeah, exactly.
I think everybody will understand that we're doing another transformation.
Understood. So just so I'm clear, it's flattish. So you did 5.9. So you think flat in June and then build up in September and December, kind of sequentially. Is that fair?
Yeah, it's fair.
Okay. All right. Very good. Just to touch on the largest customer, AT&T. You did $18 million last year. What is the you know, how much are you expecting, I suppose, out of AT&T this year? And provided it's your year two with them, are you starting to get like a maintenance revenue stream from them? Was there any upsell, or do you expect any upsell from them? I know you said it was 62% this quarter, but what's the sort of the projection there for the year?
So we expect, first of all, AT&T to remain a large portion of the revenue into this year. We're expecting to grow, additional new logos this year, but because we expect new deals to come toward the second part of the year, and we don't, I mentioned that I don't know exactly when they will come. Our estimate is that AT&T will be roughly 50%, 50. This can change, based on timing of other deals. With AT&T, we're getting all sorts of revenue. We will start to get maintenance as well, and we have, committed business, where we have potential business and upside as well, and all of this is in the works. So the relationship is healthy there, and we're very responsive to AT&T.
Okay, very good. That's good commentary. So there's good probability of upselling maybe additional functionality, additional features as you progress through the year. So
yes.
That's the plan. Okay, great. And then as I look on your deferred revenue line, you only did about $1 million this year. I noticed, and maybe because it's more of a ratable now RevRec with your largest customer, AT&T, but how do you reconcile that $1 million versus what you'd received maybe Q1 of last year, which was a big spike in deferred? So can you get, is that just a change in RevRec? So most of the sort of revenue now flows straight through the P&L and doesn't really go to the balance sheet. So can you just explain what's going on there?
So this is exactly as you described it, Dimitri. So if you recall, in the first quarter, we get a huge amount upfront, which almost all of it went to the deferred revenue, and now it's just the materialization of it into revenue. As we don't expect to get such an amount with AT&T with such numbers, so deferred revenue will probably be in the same level or slightly above, depends on specific milestones we are going to invoice. But what you say was correct. Is it answering your question?
So it's pretty much goes straight to the P&L is what you're saying, right? But if there's an additional feature, that'll get into the deferred, I suppose. And then if you get a new customer, that should also wind up in deferred initially. Is that fair?
It depends on how the contract will be structured with him. If we get, like we got with AT&T, an upfront payment that is all on the deferred, so yes, but yet to be seen.
Okay. All right. And I guess my last question just kind of builds on Alex's question on the four POCs. I think I heard you say, Yaron, I guess I'll ask you the probability of that happening, but I think I heard you say you may see a new trial end up in revenue this quarter, and then another one or two, I don't know, maybe you can qualify these better, but in Q3, Q4 timeframe. So please clarify that is indeed the case, and what's the probability of that happening?
Okay, I'll do my best. I'm going to be, the sensitivity is not because I don't want to share. Some of it is because I don't know, and some of it is I need to be very careful because now it's the sensitive part of materializing these things, and I don't want anyone to guess the customers. So what I said is that some of these trials are coming to conclusion,
and we're working with these carriers on concluding them, and the ones that we conclude on the commercial next steps. So, and I further said, and this is, the non-guessing piece, that I don't know exactly when they're going to come in. You know, these carriers, to give you more color, some of these, because the technology is very advanced, some of these discussions now is for them to work how they adapt to the technology and what's the best way that they need to do what's, because it's a lot of it is NFV, how they get ready for it. So there's things that they need to do. It's not only things that we need to do. All the signs are good. We're getting very strong feedback from the things that we did. Just to give you more color, we didn't see from anyone, okay, that, hey, guys, this is boring, go away. We've seen this across the market. On the contrary, what we see is very strong validation. When we start these trials, the feedback that we get, hey, guys, this is impressing us. We haven't seen this in the marketplace. If you show us this working, this is of very interest for us. When we go and also when they run their business cases around, you know, what does it mean to run it virtually and how it fits into their entire strategy, it blows them off. And, you know, we're in a positively, of course, and we're in a very good position. The thing is now we need to be heads down, and we are, to mature this. And the last thing that I said is that over the course of the coming quarters, we expect to start additional trials as interest in the product continues in what we offer, and we expect to have more trials that we generate during the year, and we also have the infrastructure to support this.
Okay, so just to be clear, Yaron, we should not be maybe expecting anybody, any TSP wind up in Q2. I mean, if it happens, it happens, but just to sort of have the expectation set right. More of that is second half. And you think you can get more than just one ICP or, TSP, I guess, in the second half of the year. So is that fair, or?
It's a fair expectation. You know, at the end we're engaged with several, so we get one or two, or, you know, it's hard to say, and it's hard to say also at what timing each one will come. But when you engage with several and they're all showing positive signs, maybe on the very conservative side, we hope to get at least one, but, you know, signs are showing that we'll get more, so...
Okay, and then more back and loaded. Okay.
But I think the way that you outlined is, you know, I don't disagree with it, okay?
Okay, I just don't want us to think, you know, we're going to get a CSP. If it lands there, great, but the expectations should be for the back half, third quarter, fourth quarter, whenever it lands, and at least one is what you said.
Yep.
Okay, fair enough. Thank you, gentlemen, and keep up the good work.
Thank you.
Thanks.
If there are any further questions, please press star 1. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star 2. Please stand by while we pull for more questions. There are no further questions at this time. Mr. Ravkai, would you like to make your concluding statement?
Yes, you know, like I mentioned on the call, we're heads down, focusing on executing what we shared in the past several quarters. We're getting very strong feedback on our direction. I think we're seeing it also in the financial results, and we'll see you soon again. So thank you very much.
Thank you. This concludes the RADCOM Ltd. First Quarter 2017 Results Conference Call. Thank you for your participation. You may go ahead and disconnect.